This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that Mason Crosby is coming up next with Mitch Nellis on the Mason Crosby Show. That will be from 9 to 11 today. Make sure to check that out. Our football coverage on WSSP is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T versus Verizon, or Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I cannot tell you how excited I am to be joined by the one and only Wes Hodkowitz, senior writer for Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hod. Wes Hodkowitz, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. If you'd ever told me there'd be a time where you and I are talking on radio together and it's your show, I mean, I'll be honest with you, this was not on my bingo card, but I'm excited to be here.
Wes, this is the most ridiculous bingo card ever made. Nobody saw this coming. We're doing our best. We're day three in. We are excited about it, but I couldn't think of anyone better to have on than you. So I'm thankful that you came on our first week and, welcome you to the show. This is super exciting for me for sure. Let's talk some Green Bay Packers. Let's talk about this Packers win over the Arizona Cardinals first. Well, anything catch you by surprise? Any key takeaways from this one?
I think probably the biggest thing was just the fact that Jordan Love, I kind of looked, I don't want to say more like himself again, but it was a reminder of what last season looked like when he was clicking and rolling and everything was kind of moving in the right direction. And, so many guys afterwards in the locker room talked about this being probably the most complete overall balanced start to finish win of the season. Obviously, the Titans game, there was a lot of pomp and circumstance to that one. But this particular game, I just felt like the Packers were playing a team that was, that they should beat, and they should beat that way. And myself and my colleague, Mike Spofford, we were going back and forth about it afterwards. And one of the big messages I was kind of telling with him is it's like, you know, Arizona had a lot of things going against it. There was a lot of stuff going on in terms of their roster. But the fact of the matter is the Packers needed to win that game by 21 points, and they did. And I feel like offensively being able to have Christian Watson back, having Romeo Doubs back, everything just kind of looked more in sync again. And ultimately, when you get into week six of the season, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, very much so. And it shouldn't go unnoticed, too, obviously. And I know a lot of people know this at this point, but Cardinals beat the 49ers team week before that. I really enjoyed watching the Cardinals tape, too. They play a good brand of defense, and I thought Green Bay just got the better of them all day long. And obviously, Kyler Murray's a problem anytime you play him. So the fact that they were able to box him in, 7 carries, 14 yards, and again, put up that performance on offense, I thought that was still a very impressive win over Arizona. You brought up the return of Christian Watson and what that meant to this offense. Again, he is a difference maker when he is out on the field, even when he's not catching the ball. What did that return for of Christian mean for the Packers?
It just means that defenses have to defend every part of the field again. And certainly the Packers have guys that have speed. Bo Melton has speed. You have guys that can stretch the field a little bit. But talking to Melton after the game and him saying that, yeah, when you have a big old gazelle out there like Watson, I mean, that's just a different player for defenses to have to account for. And his speed, his height, his size, I mean, there's just, you saw it on the fourth down play, too. I mean, I don't know how many players in the National Football League are going to be able to fit that ball in the way that Jordan Love did, but it also took a 6'4" receiver with some arm length to be able to pull that thing down. And then certainly the post that he ran against Buda Baker, that's going to be something that will probably stick on his highlight film as well. So he is so important. He's so integral to this offense. We saw it last year. You can find ways to make things work offensively. But I think the bigger case is just having him out there shows you once again that he is the ultimate X factor. And as many of these guys, as balanced as this offense can be, the defense has to defend it by and large differently when number nine is on the field.
Yeah, very much so. That fourth and two was such a huge play in that game. Obviously, the post for the touchdown was as well. His ability, again, to kind of open things up from other players. He's got a gravity to him that teams have to honor where you're putting a safety over the top just to make sure he doesn't beat you. And if you don't do it, again, we can see what happens on that deep post. I also think as teams key in on Jaden Reed more and more with the success that he's having, having guys out there like Watson and Dobbs is super important because it just gives you more option. I thought this was sort of the blueprint that we expected going into the year of, all right, you want to take away one guy or you think you know where the ball is going, you don't, and any of these guys can beat you at any given moment. I want to ask you about one of the other throws. I know you talked about
it. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little bit in your mailbag this week. The decision making on that Romeo Dobbs throw, this has been a oft talked about topic a little bit so far this week. Mm-hmm. So Jordan, obviously, he gets a disadvantageous look. Matt LaFleur said in the post game presser that it was not a great play call for that situation. He gets a free blitzer coming right at him, and Romeo obviously running down the sideline gives him a 50-50 ball to go up and get it. What did you, obviously the throw ends up great, the result is fantastic. What did you think of the process and the decision making from Jordan on that throw?
I was good with it. Now, I'm not the X's and O's expert like yourself, but I was cool with it because once again, as you mentioned, it's a 7-on-6 look and it's cover zero. So, I mean, you have no safeties over the top. So that is a moment where Jordan Love is trusting Romeo Dobbs to make that play and being able to, at the very least, make sure that ball doesn't get picked off. And I think so many times you see this in the National Football League now, quarterbacks, especially when they're young guys, are so afraid to make those mistakes and afraid, you know, of almost their own shelf, afraid to make a play sometimes. I felt like Jordan, he did it on that. Maybe it was a little bit more of that gunslinger thing again, but it was a different type of play than what he made a week earlier with Jaden Reed when it's triple coverage and there's two safeties bearing down over the top. This is Romeo Dobbs out there one-on-one against Sean Murphy Bunting, and I mean, this is an opportunity to be able to execute when you're getting an all-out blitz. Look, he wasn't that was his hot read. That was the way he's going. That's the one-on-one matchup you want. And I felt like, from my standpoint, to be able to make that play, you just felt like whatever air was left in the balloon for the Cardinals at that point just completely was gone.
Yeah, I could not agree more. You know, I think that was your opportunity for, I don't know if we got it on the play. I didn't get to hear the radio call, but that was your opportunity for a Wayne Laird v. Dagger, right? To just kind of finish that game off right then and there. And if you look at the situation and, you know, you could look at the process and say, well, what's different when you got the all-out blitz and he threw one up to Dontavian Wicks against the Vikings and that one was picked off? Well, that's a game on the line moment where it's not a third or fourth down situation. And I didn't think the opportunity was quite there. And again, it's maybe not your jump ball specialist like a Romeo Dobbs is. I did not think that was the right process at that moment in that game. Up 18 on 3rd and 2, where you're throwing a ball up that, to your point, you know, again, Romeo is that guy, and it's right along the sidelines. Hopefully, at worst, Romeo bats it away. Even if that does get picked off, what, maybe they're down at the 1 or 2 yard line, or again, even worst case scenario, they pick it off and it's probably at the 20 if they get a touchback out of it somehow. Right. So again, you're still up 18. It was 3rd down anyway. I have no problem with that decision. I thought that was the right call. I thought he threw a ball that, oh, you know, Romeo could go and get. He did. The end result was fantastic and it all worked out perfectly. So I think there is a difference there between those two 50-50 jump balls. Speaking of Romeo Dobbs, obviously there was a, you know, interesting situation over the last couple weeks. Matt LaFleur has had two of these now in the last, about year, maybe a little bit less. the Jair Alexander situation, the Romeo Doubs situation. He's navigated both of those very difficult situations. It very much seems like the Packers and Jair are better after that situation. And it's hard to argue right now that it doesn't seem like this Romeo Doubs, or does seem like the Romeo Doubs situation is basically behind us now. Great week last week. The team rallied behind him. How did Matt navigate these two very difficult situations to get kind of where they are now?
Yeah, well, I think it comes back to accountability and understanding that no matter how good of a play caller you are, no matter how brilliant of an offensive mind you are, there is that responsibility to the team in the locker room. And I felt like since day one, that's been the most natural part of Matt LaFleur taking over this football team in 2019. He has a great pulse on the locker room and what needs to happen in there and where discipline sometimes has to get imposed. And obviously with Roman, we don't know all the details. And, you know, I hope he's in a good mental headspace and wherever he needs to get to. But the fact is that this is a beloved guy that has been around with this locker room for 2.5 years. This receiving core loves him. I mean, you saw it both with the tweet that Christian Watson had when he retweeted, you know, Ryan Woods' comments about Rome and of Christian Watson's comments about Rome welcoming him back. And then also just the hug and the embrace in the end zone after that play. I mean, this is a football team. And as Matt LaFleur said, there's going to be times too where you're going to have stuff that happens within your family. You don't disown your family. You pull back together. You try to get stronger out of it. And I felt like that's what's going to happen. And the other thing is too, people can, you know, there were some people saying, well, there wasn't enough emotion after the touchdowns. It's like, if you followed Rome for the last 2.5 years, this is Romeo Doubs. That's the way he goes about his business. He is the type of guy that is just going to score a touchdown and hand the ball back to the ref. That's just the way he does things. So as they've all been saying over and over again, they're working past it. They're moving forward. And I think I have full confidence that that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I do too. And I give Matt a lot of credit. I know, you know, that you see a suspension or something like that. I always feel like the suspension is a tool in the Packers toolbox that they can use when they need to. I think they've used it well these past two times where they've had to. I think both situations are, at least the Jair one we can say is ended up better. And it seems like Romeo's trending in that direction as well. And it kind of recalibrated everyone, got everyone back on the same page, and we're able to move forward from it. And I thought Matt did a great job too on Sunday of, you know, not making more of this, of trying to make a statement, you know, making him like the number five or six receiver and having to work his way back up. Yeah. I think it would have continued to be a story if that was the case. He knew that Romeo was best for that game plan, put him in, didn't spite the game plan to try to set a standard or anything like that. And again, I think it just makes it easier for everyone to move past it. And obviously Rome paid it off with a really nice game with two touchdowns this past week. Let's talk. I know you and I both, Wes, have an affinity for some of these guys that maybe are bottom of the roster, UDFA, practice squad guys that go on to have really nice careers. It certainly seems like that is the case, or at least is trending that way, for Emmanuel Wilson, who is emerging as a really good running back for this team. Anytime he gets the ball in his hands, it seems like he's making positive plays. Your thoughts on the emergence of Emmanuel Wilson so far?
I'm just blown away by him. I just watching this guy go from like a really good story in leading the NFL in preseason rushing last year and playing very sparingly once the regular season came, to becoming now that de facto number two back behind Josh Jacobs. I mean, he has been thrown into the fire this year, and I feel like it's made him even better. I mean, seeing him as a pass catcher and pass protection, I've said this time and time again, the longest tenured guy on the staff right now, longest tenured guy I think maybe on the entire roster other than Kenny Clark, is Ben Sermons. He's been here for a long time. He's been able to develop so many running backs. And if you have a guy with raw tools and you have something you really like in terms of scouting him, I feel fully confident in Ben being able to take that guy and mold him into a really good NFL running back. And I think that's what you're seeing with Wilson. Again, another guy that I think has a really good disposition about himself, a very cool, calm, and collected sort of approach to the game. And being able to spell someone like Josh Jacobs, I think, really speaks to what he's accomplished in a very short amount of time. I mean, if they did not feel confident in this situation, you could very easily just run Jacobs into the ground. That's what's happened at points and intervals in his career just over and over again. But no, I mean, they feel like this is a guy that can balance out that rotation, and he's done that. And I think it makes it even more exciting now for whenever they can get Marshawn Lloyd back on the field. Certainly, I thought Chris Brooks had some decent runs late in the game. I mean, this is basically the worst-case scenario, right? They lost A.J. Dillon. The rookie third-round pick goes down right away. And then, you know, suddenly here's the second-year former undrafted free agent that's really carrying the load.
Yeah, we've seen in the past where your top running back goes out of the game and it's just like, oh my goodness, like just throw the ball because you don't have the confidence maybe to run with the second guy. That's not the case with Emmanuel Wilson. You feel good anytime he gets the ball. You go back to 2023 in the preseason, he was ripping off some big runs all the way back there, and there was signs that when the ball was in his hands, he could be a good runner. But again, the pass pro and the pass catching were the big two things, as you mentioned earlier. And the way that those two things have come along, the way he plucked the ball out of the air this past week and his pass pro on this season so far has been really impressive. I know Sermon's talked about in the past, that was the big thing that he needed to step up on. He has done so in a major way and really right before our eyes become a well-rounded running back. You mentioned like this, that, you know, what Ben Sermons can do with guys with tools. It feels like they do have four guys with tools, obviously Josh Jacobs, but then Emmanuel Wilson's coming along. Sure. As you mentioned, Marshawn Lloyd's coming back. Chris Brooks has been impressive in a very small sample size so far, although I really liked his tape from Miami as well. What happens to this running back room when Marshawn Lloyd comes back? Does Brooks stick around? I know there's a lot of roster math that's going to have to kind of go into it, and how do they kind of get touches for, even if it's, you know, even if Brooks, you know, steps to the side or whatever, how do they get touches for Wilson, Lloyd, and Jacobs when they're all together?
Well, I look at Lloyd as being in the same position kind of Wilson was last year too, where he's going to be able to develop in his pass pro, he's going to be able to develop in his pass catching abilities. I mean, you go back to last year, you can probably bring up the exact stats, but I feel like it was something like, if let's just say Emmanuel Wilson had 15 touches, I think it came on like 20 plays. It was basically, if Emmanuel Wilson was in the game, he was getting the football. That's just the way they were running things. I'm not saying it has to be that extreme with Lloyd. He's played a lot of football at a very high level. But getting him acclimated and being able to use him situationally, they were just starting to hint at that at the moment in which he injured his ankle. So hopefully you can get him back into that spot. The numbers game is always interesting to me because we talked so much during the summer about, okay, well, you have three running backs and three tight ends and 10 offensive linemen. And then you get to the course of the year and weird things happen just based on injuries. You'll have 7-8 receivers, or you'll have, you know, 6 safeties. Like, things like that have happened pretty routinely. So I don't really look at it so much as like where the number's going to be at. It tends to be if a guy's on the roster, the Packers try to tend to keep him there. But at the same time, I mean, that's a decision they're going to have to ultimately make in terms of, you know, do you carry four at that point if everybody's healthy? You know, Brooks was on the practice squad. Could he go back down like what happened with Robert Rochelle? Just those type of things are little factors they'll have to weigh into it. But I'll say this again, Andy, for them to be able to be in a point where they're over 1,000 yards rushing through 6 games under all this adversity and the various ways in which they've gotten production on the ground, it's just, again, it's another factor that I think has played into Green Bay being off to a really strong start offensively.
Yeah, and it's another credit to Brian Gutekunst and his ability in the front, the entire front office, especially pro personnel side too, and the draft side, where, again, Emmanuel Wilson's a UDFA. This is a big time free agent signing in Josh Jacobs, which you have to pay off those, and it seems like they sort of have so far. A UDFA in Emmanuel Wilson, a third round pick, day two pick in Marshawn Lloyd, and then a guy that they just find that was on the Dolphins last year that they claim and you know, put on their practice squad and then sign off their own practice squad, and Chris Brooks. And it just goes to show you they can find guys everywhere and they can figure out a way to make them work. And that's a credit to not only the personnel department, but of course, like you said, Ben Sermons and what he can do to develop some of those guys as well. Real quick, thoughts on the toughness of this NFC North. 4-2 Packers are currently in fourth place. It's absolutely absurd. The top four teams in point differential in the entire NFL are in the NFC North. Just how crazy is this division?
It's bonkers. And it's crazy too, the way it worked out that you've had 6 weeks and two of the teams have played each other once. The Packers will end up getting through, what, the entire AFC South by the time they see any of these other teams? I mean, it's crazy. But, I mean, the fact is that you have to win your games, in division, out of division. Obviously, the in-division ones have a huge implication on being able to win the North, but that's where you just have to hold serve. But I think you look at Minnesota has surprised everybody. I think that's one of the best free agent classes we've seen signed in the National Football League, maybe since the Packers in 2019, just to be able to renovate that roster and overcome some really bad drafts. The Vikings have been able to do that. Detroit is kind of the juggernaut that we've seen, and they're continuing to play at a very high level, although now they have a huge setback there on their defense. And Chicago's beating the teams they have to beat. Chicago's the one that I'm interested to see when you start, you know, the rubber meets the road a little bit and they got to face some higher competition, how they're going to respond to it. But they, again, like the Packers last week against the Cardinals, the Bears did what they were supposed to do against the Jaguars, and Caleb Williams obviously performed at a really high level.
Yeah, he's looking better week to week, and this division seems like it's just going to get better and better. You've got Caleb Williams getting better, and that's going to make things more complicated as time goes on. And yeah, I'm very interested to see long-term what happens in Minnesota if Sam Darnold keeps balling out. They just spent a first-round pick on J.J. McCarthy, who's out for the year, and he was looking really good in training camp and the first preseason game that he played prior to the injury. It's going to be a very interesting NFC North for the foreseeable future. Before I let you go, Wes, a very important question. We got a Twitter question that came in from a one Packer ranter on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
He asks, Wes, what is your favorite Keanu Reeves movie?
You know what? I'm going to mix it up a little bit. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm going to tell Rand to this. I'm going to say Constantine.
Oh, okay. I've never seen Constantine. I'll have to go check it out.
2005. Yeah, check it out.
I'm going to go base. Matrix is one of my favorite movies of all time, so I just got to stick with the easy answer there. But there's a lot of great answers to that question. So thank you, Packer Ranter, for coming in with the hard-hitting questions. Wes, thank you so much for joining our second ever guest. Make sure to follow him on Twitter, at Wes Hodd. Of course, find all of his amazing work on Packers.com. Appreciate you coming on, Wes.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you.
You bet. When we come back, we will be going live to the phone, so get those phone calls in at the Nicolay Law Fan Listener Line at 414-677-1250. It's the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.